Well, greetings, Church. It's always a joy and a privilege to be here in DUMC. We meet in, at strange times, don't we, where everything has to go virtual. I have to confess that I miss our regular church gatherings. I miss the worship. I miss the fellowship. But we press on, making the most of every opportunity in season and out of season. Amen. So if you have your Bibles today, I want to ask you to open to the book of Habakkuk. I want to read from chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. Chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And maybe we can read it together. If you have your Bibles open, let's read it together. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food. The flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Let's pray and commit this time to the Lord. God, we meet in challenging times, Lord, challenging times in the life of our nation. So many are hurting. So many are facing hardship and difficulty. There's so much confusion and uncertainty too. But God, we look to you. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Give us faith to endure, strength for the day. Give us wisdom to discern what the Spirit is saying to us in this time in our nation. God, we just ask you for healing for those who are sick in body. We ask you for provision for those who are in need. We ask you for a breakthrough for those who are in desperate situations. God, we ask you to speak to us from your word today, that we might be comforted, encouraged, and revived. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Well, I've titled my message today, Though the Fig Tree Not Blossom, Living by Faith in a Season of Crisis. I don't have to remind you that we are living at a time in a time of crisis. As you know, our nation has been caught up in a level of political instability not seen before. We have a government without a popular mandate, a government without the moral authority to rule. The government is so shaky that it could fall anytime. Literally, we are in uncharted territory. We are living at a time when the government is paralyzed and barely functioning. We have leaders that hardly inspire confidence. I'm sure many of you will agree. They can't seem to agree on anything except perhaps rewarding themselves. And hypocrisy in government is at an all-time high, so that people who are charged with various offenses and people who are even convicted can walk around as if unashamed, as if nothing has happened. If you look at our nation, I'm sure you will agree that we are a nation in disrepair. There's so much racial and religious discrimination. The people are openly talking about excluding minorities from senior positions in government. There have been attempts to disenfranchise and demonize minorities. Corruption is so rampant. Every day you open the newspapers, there's something about somebody making some money illegally somewhere. Sometimes when I look at all that's going on in our nation, I wonder, how did we go from rejoicing at the rebirth of our nation not so long ago, May 2018. Can you remember that time? I remember it so vividly. We were all full of hope. We were rejoicing at the rebirth of our democracy, at the rebirth of our nation. And I remember standing in front of the gates of Istana Negara. That scene is always etched in my mind, waiting for Dr. Mahathir to go in and receive the appointment from the king. And I remember the joy on the streets, the excitement. For that few moments, we were one. We nothing could stop us, it seemed. I don't know about you, but I certainly feel betrayed and disappointed. And I'm still struggling to come to terms with all that. And if that was not bad enough, we're also in the midst of a deadly pandemic. So many people are sick, more than 300 have perished. The pandemic has upended everything we once took for granted. Before we could travel, now we can't even travel to the next state. We can't even meet as a church. Schools have been suspended. And so it's like everything we took for granted is now gone, or at least suspended for now. And of course, the pandemic-related restrictions have had a huge impact on our economy. Businesses are closing, industries are collapsing, the economy is shrinking. Thousands are out of work. It's not so uncommon to hear of pilots selling nasi lemak or driving Grab cars. Everywhere, people are hurting. They're struggling to feed their families and pay their bills. I've never seen so much uncertainty, anxiety, and gloom. I've seen it in other countries, but not here, not like this. Everywhere I go, because I write on politics, everywhere I go, the number one question people ask me, is there hope for our nation? And like I said, I have never seen such gloom, such despair. But you know what? We are not just exasperated citizens. We are also Christians. And faith, our faith in Jesus Christ, compels us to view things from a faith perspective. You know, we tend to, like everybody else, we tend to focus so much on the political developments, on the news reports. But the real issue is not what they are up to. The real issue is, what is God up to? That was Habakkuk's question too. Habakkuk speaks to the times we live in, and somehow Habakkuk has been heavy on my heart for the last few months. I keep going back to Habakkuk. The Spirit has put it upon me so heavily, and I pray that Habakkuk's revelation, that the revelation that Habakkuk received will resonate in your hearts and will encourage you and inspire you and bring you comfort and perhaps help you to better understand, to view the situation we are going through from the perspective of faith. Let me start with some background to Habakkuk. Habakkuk was a contemporary of Jeremiah. Jeremiah ministered in Judah. Habakkuk ministered in Israel. And if you look at both the books of Jeremiah and the book of Habakkuk, it provides a lot of insight into the condition or what was going on in their nation. It talks about the issues that they grappled with and the challenges they faced. You know, most Bibles have a little introduction before each book. And if you read the introduction to Habakkuk in the NIV version, it says that Habakkuk was living in a time, it was a dark and grim time in his nation's history. It was a time of crisis and confusion, storm and stress. It was a time of great change. Armies were marching, kingdoms were being shaken. And of course, there was a lot of political instability and economic hardship. And Habakkuk, the book of Habakkuk talks about the political and religious and social leaders of the time and how they were corrupt and morally bankrupt. It talked about the treachery that was going on in high places. It talked about the greed and the lust for power. It talked about the unscrupulousness of the leaders, their lack of integrity. It talked about how the poor were oppressed, how justice was subverted, and how power was abused. And you read the book of Habakkuk, and you can get a sense of his frustration, his anxiety, his dismay, that the nation had lost its direction, it had lost its vision, it had lost its moral compass. You know, the psalmist put it this way, what can the righteous do when righteous foundations are being destroyed? But you see, Habakkuk was also a man of deep faith, and he struggled from his faith perspective. He struggled to make sense of what was going on in his nation. He struggled to reconcile what he saw and with what he believed. And if you read through the book of Habakkuk and you listen to his cries, the cries of his anxious heart, and I put it up on the slide, and these are the questions he had.
God, why do you allow all this to happen? Why do the unjust prosper? God, why do you tolerate so much evil? God, why do you allow treacherous people to succeed? God, the law is paralyzed, justice never prevails, and you allow it. Don't you care, God, what's going on? Is there any reason in the midst of all of this for hope? You know, I read Habakkuk's questions and his cries, and I wonder, and to me it sounds so similar, it's so familiar, even, dare I say this, deliciously seditious. I wonder if Habakkuk had a Malaysian roommate when he was in university, or perhaps he had been reading the comments in the comment section of Malaysia Kini. I don't know about you, but it certainly, his question certainly resonates in my own heart. And so as Habakkuk, in the midst of all his questions and in the midst of all that was going on in his nation, Habakkuk sought the Lord, and God gave him an amazing revelation. And suddenly he saw a different reality. He saw things from a different perspective. God said, I am doing a work in your day that is so amazing. If I told you, you wouldn't even believe it. And it made Habakkuk realize that God was still the sovereign Lord, that God was still on the throne. And in the midst of everything, God was at work. Yes, wickedness and injustice was there all around them, but God was not done yet. Yes, there was hardship and difficulty, but God is not done yet. And you know what? The leaders can plot and scheme, but the day will come when God says the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Things may look bad, but God is faithful. And God says to Habakkuk, God makes this promise to Habakkuk. God says to Habakkuk, remember the promises, though it lingers, wait for it will surely come. It's God's way of telling Habakkuk, hold on to the promises. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose hope. It's God saying, when you came to Christ in faith, you put your trust in Him. Don't lose that faith now. Hold on. Hold on. And then God reminds Habakkuk, the righteous must live by his faith. If I can give you my understanding of that, it means let your faith in God define your vision. Let your faith in God inspire your hope. Let your faith in God determine your responses to whatever is going on. It means trusting God in the midst of the storm. And I see this as God's, it's a call to have faith in the midst of difficult situations. You know, Proverbs 29:18 says, and I am reading the Message translation, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. That's why it's so important when things are difficult, when we're going through challenging times, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. With vision comes clarity and hope. And suddenly as Habakkuk begins to see things from a whole new perspective, to look at the situation through the eyes of faith, you can see there's a change comes over him, and he goes from despair to rejoicing, from complaining to praising, from hopelessness to confidence. And then he says, you know what? Though the fig tree doesn't blossom, though the harvest may fail, but hey, hallelujah anyway. God's got my back. Help is on the way. And so we may be up against powerful forces. We may be facing things beyond our control. But is anything too difficult for the Lord? We should be able to say like David, hey, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion, he will deliver me from my enemies. So no matter what we are going through, the message is God's word to us is his grace is sufficient for us. And as Habakkuk begins to praise God and he begins to worship God and he begins to overflow in faith, and begins to worship God. You can see he writes, he says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. He begins to praise God. And as he begins to praise God, God makes this amazing promise. And Habakkuk declares, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. That's where we get that expression from, hinds feet in high places. You know what? I love that expression. I absolutely love that expression because it captures something so amazing. The hind has this amazing ability to climb very steep and perilous slopes and mountains. It can go places that others dare not go. It can go places that are too steep for anyone else. It can go to the heights that is too high for everyone else. It can seize opportunities that are even in difficult situations. And because it can climb, even its enemies cannot catch them. You might have heard that expression, hind's feet in high places, before. But let me say this, you will probably never really grasp the significance until you see it for yourself. So I want you to watch this video it's actually a mountain goat. It's not a hind, but I couldn't find any hind. But you get the idea of it, because it's quite similar. But it'll give you an idea of what it means to have hind's feet in high places. So just watch this video. It'll really blow your mind away. Hind's feet in high places is God's promise to equip us and to give us every spiritual blessing to overcome all the obstacles that we may face, to go where others cannot go, to thrive in difficult situations, to climb to the very top no matter what we face, to scale the heights, to fulfill our calling, to be the best that we can be. Those are the things that God showed Habakkuk. Now, let me relate that to our situation. What's Habakkuk's message to us? I can think of three things. First, God is at work. Don't be discouraged. You know what? We can't see the full picture of what God is up to. Sometimes we like Habakkuk, when he focused only on the problems, he got very discouraged. But when he turned his eyes to God, he started rejoicing. Now, I want you to know that I'm not minimizing the situation we're in. Like I mentioned before, I write about politics, and sometimes I feel like the watchman on the walls. I see all that's going on. I pay particular attention. I read. I mix with people. I talk to people. I see all that's going on in our nation. And we have every reason to be, and there's every reason to be concerned. There's every reason to get discouraged. But you know what? I have to keep reminding myself that I'm only seeing part of the picture because God is at work. Yes, things might look bad. The political situation is not good. There's racial and religious discrimination, corruption. There's a long list. But don't be discouraged because God is at work. You know what, church? Our future is not written by our politicians, but by our God. Do we believe that? If you believe that, say amen. With God, all things are possible. And we have seen how in GE 14, suddenly nobody was expecting the results that they did. And it was one of those suddenly moments when everything changed, and I believe God can do it again. So let's not get so focused on what the politicians are doing or not doing that we forget that God is at work. You know, often we like to say that our faith, our trust is not in government, but in Christ alone. We're not looking to the politicians. Our faith is in Christ alone. Remember that song, "In Christ Alone, My Hope is Found"? He is my light. Excuse me. He is my light, my strength, my song, this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. You know, we have sung it so many times in our churches. We have said it. Now it's time for us to own it and live by it and walk by it. And so while others may be losing hope or giving up, packing up and leaving, we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. We hold on to the promises of God. Everything might be changing. We don't know so much about where we are headed for as a nation, but our feet are on the firm foundation, Christ, our cornerstone. And can I tell you something else, church? The world is watching. They're watching to see if all our talk about faith in Christ is real. They're watching to see, will God supply all our needs through His riches and glory in Christ Jesus? They're watching to see, is God our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble? They're watching to see, is He able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think? You know, it reminds me of something the Lord showed me years ago from the book of Exodus. You might remember the scene after they had crossed the Red Sea, after the armies of Pharaoh drowned in the Red Sea. Miriam took out her tambourine and she composed this song, "The horse and the rider God has thrown into the sea," and they danced and celebrated. When I came to that chapter and I was reading that, I felt the Lord speak to me and say to me, they were dancing on the wrong side of the Red Sea. And I, what does that mean? And you see, I felt God say, you know, faith requires us to dance when our backs are against the Red Sea, when the chariots and horsemen of Pharaoh are closing in on us, when there's no way out, we are trapped. That's when we start dancing, because that's where we show our faith in God, that we are so confident, we are so sure that God will deliver us. And so I ask you today, will we dance in the face of trial and challenges? Can we rejoice in God, in the God of our salvation, even at such a time as this? And you know, what we do and how we respond will either inspire many or cause them to stumble. It's a heavy responsibility, and it's not something that we should take lightly. Second, stand in the gap. You know, we are called, we say that so many times. Sometimes we say these phrases so often that we lose the significance of it. We've been called into the kingdom. Let me say it again. We've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. We've been equipped, we've been anointed, we've been appointed for precisely this moment in history. Do you think God didn't know that we would be planted here at this time, at this moment in history? This is our time. There are so many who are hurting, who are hungry, who are homeless, who are sick, who are abandoned and struggling. And whenever there's a crisis, the first thing God does, He looks, who will stand in the gap for us? Church, this is our moment. This is our moment. God is at work. Let's work with God. Let's put our faith to work in the midst of this crisis. Take the staff that God has given you, the anointing, and go and stand on the hill. Be the aroma of Christ in the midst of the moral decay that's all around us. Where there is corruption, let's show them what honesty looks like. Where there's hypocrisy, let's show them what integrity looks like. This is the time when we let our light shine. Now is not the time to retreat or to stay silent. Now is the time where we press on. We keep fighting against injustice. We keep fighting for truth. We keep fighting for righteousness. This is the time to speak out, to take a stand, to stay engaged, to get involved. You know,
Many times people will say to me, it's all futile. Nothing will change. Ah, yeah, give up lah. That's what people say to me. But I tell you, my Bible says, do not grow weary of doing good, for in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And our choice is whether we want to listen to all the people who say it's no use, or whether we want to hold on to the word of God. So it's up to us to seize this moment in history to fulfill God's purpose. You know, if you read the history of the church was born for adversity. It was born out of adversity. It was born for adversity. This is our moment. This is when we are at our best. This is when we are at our strongest. This is when we pray and we preach the gospel and we minister to those that are in need. Never have the fields been more ready for the harvest as it is now. In the midst of all that's going on, if we take the time to listen to what the Spirit says, I believe you will hear the Spirit saying, arise, church, shine, for your light has come, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. This could be our finest hour if we respond the right way. Third, trust God. God knows that, and I want to bring it down to to each of you on a personal level. God knows that for many, this is not just a national crisis, it's a personal crisis too. Behind the statistics, there are real people who have been impacted, who are hurting. Many of you, some of you might have lost your jobs. Some of you might have to have put your dreams on hold. Some of you might be worried about your family situation. Some of you might be facing sickness and as a result of all that's going on, find yourselves in a really impossible situation. If that's you today, God wants you to know that He has not forgotten you. He knows what you're going through. He sees those tears. He hears those cries. He feels your pain. He knows your fears and your hopes and your anxieties. He knows, He knows, He knows. And this is what the Sovereign Lord says to you, excuse me. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. He says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. For I am at work turning what the enemy meant for evil, I'm turning for good. You know, as I was leaving to come here today, I felt the Lord put on my heart this verse, and He said it's for someone out there who finds yourself in a really difficult and impossible situation. You're on the verge of giving up. You can't see any way out of where you are, of your present situation. You've tried everything and there's simply just no way out, and you are in deep despair. And this is the verse the Lord gave me for you. I don't know who you are, but you will know. This is the verse the Lord gave me. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. What God is saying to you is that He will make a way where there is no way. You might feel completely trapped. You can't see any way out, but God is at work and He will make a way out for you. Amen? So when trouble comes, we, the church, we as believers, we dig deeper into the Word. We put the Word in our hearts, in our minds, in our lips. I like what somebody, a pastor friend of mine, told me. When things are going bad, you know, and if nobody comes alongside to encourage you, prophesy over yourself. Prophesy over yourself with the Word of God. When times are difficult, you walk and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. Build yourself up in your faith. Or Psalm number 1, I am like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in season
and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever I do, I prosper. Speak the word of God over your situation. Speak the word of God. Remind yourself of the word of God. Don't listen so much to all that's going on, or to all the negative things, or the people who come and tell you that it won't work and there's no way out. You feed on the word of God. You feed on the word of God. Encourage yourself like David. Why so downcast, O my soul? Speak to yourself. Why so downcast, O my soul? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. And you know, you'll find in the Bible, this word over and over again, remember, remember, remember. And it's God saying to us, remember how I delivered you. Remember, think back to all the times how I delivered my people, how I delivered you. You know, if you look back, we are not here. I mean, we've been on a journey. All of us have been on a journey. And sometimes there have been difficult times in that journey. I remember for me, there was a time when I felt utterly devastated, when I felt there was no way out. Things happened to me that I couldn't explain. I was unprepared to deal with. And I came to that point when I said, God, I just can't go on. I just can't see how I can resolve this problem, how I can move out of here. And you know, God made a way where there was no way. Whenever I hear that song, God will make a way, it really touches my heart, because I know that it was true for me. And I know that if you look at your own life, your own stories, you have something similar. It's so important, don't, at a time like this, don't let the enemy sow doubt and fear in your heart. God is not out to punish you or pull you down. He's up to bless you and lift you up. You might have suffered a setback, but God is preparing you for a comeback. I know sometimes it takes time. Just ask people like Joseph. Just ask people like David. You know, God made some amazing promises over Joseph's life. And then he ends up in jail. And not just for 1 or 2 years, for 15 years, for about 15 years, he sat in jail. And you might think, oh, maybe God forgot. You know, maybe he heard wrong. You go through all this self-doubt and this second-guessing. But tomorrow, this man is going to be the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. Tomorrow, because of his faithfulness, a whole nation would be saved. You can ask David. David was anointed king not once, but 3 times. And for 7 years, he was on the run. He had to find safety in enemy territory. And in order to keep himself safe, he had to behave like a madman. But tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow, let me introduce you to the King of Israel, the man who would go on to do so much that God would call a man after my own heart, a friend of God. And remember, we have this promise from him. Remember, we talked about hinds feet in high places. That means that God will equip us with everything we need, with all spiritual blessing to meet every challenge, every obstacle, every circumstance. God will give us the ability that we need to overcome our situation. Things might be difficult for you now, but I promise you that the day is coming when you will walk on the mountaintops again. So this is the time when we lift up our hands, our heads, and our hearts and begin to praise and worship God. In the midst of the drought, we prepare for rain. While others are murmuring, we rejoice because breakthrough is on the way. And when things get bad, we put on the full armor of God and we stand, we stand, we stand, because our feet are on Christ, the cornerstone. We are safe, we are secure. In closing, I want to remind you again of the 3 takeaways from the book of Habakkuk. 1, God is at work. Don't be discouraged or lose hope. Keep your eyes on Jesus. 2, stand in the gap for the nation. Fulfill God's purposes in our generation. And 3, trust God. Trust God. God will turn things around. God will bring us out stronger than ever before. You know,
as we saw when Habakkuk came to understand what God was up to, when he lifted his eyes from the trouble and the troubled situation in his nation, and he began to look up and see God, and he saw God seated high and exalted, he exclaimed, "Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy." Church, shall we make that our prayer too? Shall we make that our prayer too? And let's go from here with faith and confidence. Let's go forward knowing that our God is at work, knowing that we are not abandoned. We may be struck down, but we are not out, because God is at work in our nation and in our lives. Amen.